week on the Oja Boys podcast, we talk a January transfer window.
He's basically irreplaceable.
Why players want to leave Saudi already.
Why Ayman?
An Oja Boys exclusive Q&A.
The people behind VR are very incompetent.
And a whole load of other nonsense.
Especially from this guy.
Hey.
Potato, tomato, tomato, tomato.
Hello and welcome back to the Oja Boys podcast. We are back after two lovely episodes, and I'm loving it at the moment. How are you actually doing, Chaz? You know, how are you enjoying the podcast?
I didn't realise you were going to start, so
I thought, why not?
I just thought I'd laugh at you, so everyone laugh at Mikey for a minute. Why am I laughing at you?
I know why.
Tell them.
A mid-table Chelsea lost to a mid-table championship team called Middlesbrough.
Both of you are mid. Do you get it?
Yeah, we played mid. Yeah, mid on the score. Yeah. Chelsea lost, all right. Yeah, we get it. Thanks for that. No. Anyway, are you doing all right though, Chaz?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Thank you, mate. I'm laughing at you. We got knocked out of that competition a while ago, so probably
exactly.
Shouldn't be laughing. But yeah, no, I'm good, mate. But Michael Carrick's at the wheel. Tell me, how good does it feel?
Oh, it feels great, to be honest.
For those of you that don't have a clue what we are talking about, we are, of course, talking about, like Mikey said, Middlesbrough versus Chelsea in the first leg of the EFL semi-final. Have I said that
yes.
right?
Yes. You just Why is there two legs in a semi-final? That's
yeah, Mikey's not happy with it. What, go on, tell
it's,
me your
It's a semi-final. He's like, Middlesbrough, they beat us. Fair play to them. They should be able to just go straight through. Who cares about another leg? Like, obviously, some Chelsea fans be like, oh, thank God we got another leg. But I think knockouts should be one round, one game. That's it. It's not a knockout
what,
then,
the
is
Champions
it?
Champions League?
Probably, yes.
What, you just
it'll be fun. It'll be more exciting. Like, this 90 minutes is the biggest 90 minutes you'll get. You don't get, oh, you drew or you lost 3-0, but a few weeks later, you can try again.
Why has this bothered you so
I
much?
I don't know, because I thought Middlesbrough, they should be in the final.
To be fair, they don't do legs in finals.
Exactly.
So why do they do legs in?
I don't know.
But yeah, anyway, for those, like I was saying, for those that don't know, Middlesbrough run by, well, the manager, which is Michael Carrick, a Man United legend.
Carry on.
Yeah, Middlesbrough went and beat Chelsea 1-0 from, I can't remember the guy who scored, but what I do remember is Cold Palmer. Wasn't very cold last night, was he?
Yeah. Yeah, he missed two sitters. I think three sitters.
Three
last
sitters.
Week. There was one. It wasn't quite a sitter, but he did miss that. Yeah,
definitely should have had at least two goals.
Yeah, we should have won. We know that, but we didn't. So there's
and
no
then
excuses.
Did you see Thiago Silva going over to your fans at the end?
I did, but I didn't see the video. I saw like a little headline of that.
Oh no, yeah, Thiago Silva apparently went over to the Chelsea fans and was apologising. Can't blame him though.
I mean, he's one of the best players we have. It's not his fault. He's just trying his best. He's really good.
Whose fault is it?
I don't.
Moving on.
Moving on. Anyway, so in light of the January transfer window, I've put together the top 10 most expensive signings ever, and I want to put Chaz to the test.
Okay.
I want to know if Chaz can name the top 10 most expensive January transfer signings ever.
I don't think I could name you 10 January transfer signings.
Okay. Let's. Okay, top five, and then we'll see. So, Chaz, the top five January transfer windows ever. No, sorry. The top five most expensive transfers in a January transfer window.
Hold on. Question that again.
Oh,
that
God.
The fuck
so,
out.
January transfer window, yes. There's transfers in that window.
Yeah.
So we're going for the top five now. The top five most expensive signings in a January transfer window.
The top five most expensive signings in a January transfer window are Bruno Fernandes, who else was signed in the January transfer window? I'm literally stuck.
Okay, I'll give you
that's poor knowledge from me.
That is. I thought you.
Why would I know this?
Because you're.
It's not like specific.
You like football knowledge. Yeah, but like, there's some expensive signings.
No, but it's like a football. No, but it's not specific. Expensive signing. Oh, Van Dijk. No. Yes, Van
I'm
Dijk.
I'm going for top five, by the way. I've Van got Dijk, the top 10.
Van Dijk, Bruno. Van Dijk in January, I'm sure it was, because I remember the picture near the Christmas tree. Van Dijk, Bruno.
So what I'm going to do as well, I'm going to give you one hint.
Go on then.
And one of these signings, actually this is top five. Yeah. So one of these signings did not have the Premier League involved at all. So the other four signings a Premier League club was involved.
What?
So like it was a Premier League club to another club, or a Premier club to another Premier club, that kind of vibe.
I don't know if I'm so confused.
So
yeah,
a transfer has two clubs.
Yes.
Yeah. But you didn't seem to get it.
Yeah,
the transfer has two clubs. One of these in the top five was a transfer that didn't involve the Premier League club
at all.
No,
so it's just like Serie A. Or
yes,
something.
Exactly. So the other four all involved Premier League teams.
Yeah. So Bruno, Van Dijk.
You've got one there.
Bruno.
No.
Van Dijk.
Top
and
five.
Bruno's not in the top five.
No, he's only just scraped the top 10, mate.
Shut up.
I did my research. So Van Dijk is number four.
No, that wasn't January. Coutinho?
There we go. Yes, that is number one.
Coutinho, it's in January.
Yeah, number one.
Coutinho, Van Dijk.
I need a hint, number one, then, and number four.
Yeah, I need the hints.
So I gave you a hint. That was one of them. Is not involved in the
Premier
League.
Not exactly a hint.
And I'll give you a clue. It's Serie A.
Again.
Striker. What?
Lukaku.
No.
Striker.
January.
Lukaku.
Fiorentina.
Oh, no, I know who it is. What's the fucking guy's name? Plays for Juventus. Oh, I forgot his name, but I can see his face. Tall, pretty hench. Wham. Vlahovic.
Yes. That's number five. You've got five, four, and one. You've got two more.
Another hint needed. Come on. You can't just throw this at me with no hints.
No, because... You,
I gave you one hint. I could have the best ball knowledge ever, but I'm not going to know January transfer. Just drop my phone. I'm not going to know January transfer signings, the most expensive. I barely know January transfer signings.
Name some of the most expensive signings.
Ousmane Dembele.
No.
Neymar.
No.
Kylian Mbappe.
Keep going, though. Keep going. You're...
Pogba.
No.
I'm literally doing what you said. Pogba.
These are only the big ones that everyone knows.
Mine. Transfer window.
Right, Premier League teams. Both two and three. Premier League teams.
Are in between Premier League teams. From Premier League to Premier League.
No. Sorry, they're European teams to the same team in the Premier League.
To Man United.
No, they're both to Chelsea.
Chelsea. Mudrick.
Yes. He's the number three.
Oh, and Enzo Fernandez.
Yeah, there we go. See, I thought you'd be able to get that.
Oh, no, I do get it. Yeah, yeah.
So the most expensive January transfer signings ever is number one.
Coutinho.
Yes. Number two.
Fernandes.
Yes. Number three.
Mudrick.
Yeah. Number four.
Van Dijk.
And number five, Vlahovic. That's why I
thought. How the fuck?
I thought you'd get that. I thought that was actually. I could probably got more than that than you.
No, you fucking
Yes, I actually could.
No way.
But then number six is Oscar from Chelsea to Shanghai.
Yeah.
Seven, Pulisic.
Yeah.
Chelsea to. No, Dortmund to Chelsea. Laporte, Bilbao to Man City. Aubameyang, Dortmund to Arsenal. And then Bruno Fernandes comes in at 10th. Lisbon to
mate, this guy chats breeze, mate.
Mate, I thought you just...
No, it's fine.
A bit more, you know, a bit more
coming at me straight away in the podcast going, name me the top 10 most expensive transfers.
He knew this was
all
coming.
Time in January. Yeah, but I wasn't allowed to do my research.
No, but
so
you
it's kind of like,
just thought about it a bit more.
What is the point of me thinking about it like prior? It would just ruin it.
He just claims he has good ball knowledge, so I thought I'd test him, you know, weekly test, but he's going
all right, name me the top 10 cheapest January transfers ever.
Oh, so the free agents.
They're not a transfer. It's free agents different.
End of the contract then? That's still transferring from a club to a club.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, because you're going from...
How are you not going from one club to another club?
Because you're not. You're going from a club to a free agent to a club.
No, but you don't leave that club. Maybe
yes, you
between,
do.
In between bits, you're just
there's
training.
A, there's a moment in time where you... Lit, where
oh,
you
yeah, leave. When you're on the bus.
Yeah, whatever it is, you're a free agent. Why are you on the bus?
He's a free agent, you can't afford
mate,
it.
You chat so you much. You can't afford it. This guy, are you just trying to out my ball knowledge?
Yes, because you claimed you had good ball
I
knowledge.
I do have unreal ball knowledge. You literally admitted this to me the other day.
Yeah, but
you're like, I've got better ball knowledge
it's going
than you. Actually, that brings me up to a debate, which I think we should bring to the fans, right?
Okay,
so it was rumoured before, obviously, now it's been announced that Timo Werner has signed for Tottenham, right?
Oh, player.
But me and Mikey were having a debate, right? Would it be better? No, not would it be better. What was the debate? What was the question that we said?
It was to do with United, like going
so,
to United.
Yeah. What is the preferential club to go to right now? So you are Timo Werner, right? What is the preferential club to go to right now? Manchester United or Tottenham? Mikey was very clear it was Tottenham. Mm-hmm. And I was saying it's absolutely Manchester United. And he was going, oh, because the project, this, that, the other. Explain your reasoning.
I said because of the project. And also you've got a striker who's £72 million striker. Why would Werner, where Tottenham have not got a start like a Richarlison, Son goes in, he goes up to the wing. And you've got wingers, you've got striker. Why would you go to Man United when you're also not doing very well? Ange has made Tottenham like an attractive club. Why would you want to go to United now? They're a massive club, yeah. But Tottenham, Ange Ball, oh, Ange Postecoglou, mate. He likes Werner. I think, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just, it seems, and there's a space for Werner. There's not really a space
Tom,
for
him. So see, I was looking at more of, if you just forget who's there, you're just looking at the two clubs to go to.
That's not how it works.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you do agree then? Are you agreeing?
No, I don't
with
agree.
Oh.
I think if you still if you had the choice right now, the argument was if you had the choice right now, who would you go to, Tottenham or Man United? And you were like, oh, Tottenham, definitely.
As Werner, yes. We're talking about Werner. It's specifically about Werner. About him going, because you've got Hoyland. You're not going to... what? And you've got wingers. You've got loads of wingers.
Oh, yeah,
he doesn't fit.
No, I'll give you it.
Anyway, so that's also good. Yeah, yeah so sorry, Werner... Werner's gone to Tottenham. It's happened. He's on a loan till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good choice?
I don't really. It's not very exciting. It's not very different. It's not. We've sort of seen. We've seen Werner in the Premier League. He was unlucky a lot of times. Missed some good chances. Had some good moments, but it's not very exciting, is it? It's just a kind of like But talking about that, you do realise now, as a Chelsea fan, right? Mm. You know, you won the Champions League. Yeah. Was it like whenever it was?
He won it with us
3-4 years ago. Yeah. But yeah. So Werner was your starting striker.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz was your starting player as well.
Oh, we've got like
your front
team.
Three.
Yeah, it's different.
No, your front three for the start. So Chelsea starting front three in the Champions League final against City when you won 1-0.
Yeah.
Timo Werner.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz.
Yeah.
Mason Mount.
Oh, players.
Timo Werner now at Spurs.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz now at Arsenal. Mason Mount now at Man United.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
But they've won Champions League at one place, and that is Chelsea. So that's all good.
Yeah, but look, imagine me saying to you, literally the second after you won that Champions League, oh, by the way, these three players are going to be at your right, not just different clubs, your rival clubs.
Oh, mate, I would not have expected that, especially Mason Mount.
What does that say about your club?
The takeover changed everything about it, yeah.
Do you reckon it means that your club's run poorly?
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely something about that. But there's a fact about Werner in the Champions League. He was undefeated when he played in the Champions League.
For who?
For Chelsea.
What, you never lost when you played?
Yeah. And that's why we won the Champions League, because of Werner.
No. I mean, yeah, but going back to your point, I think to be fair, the way Tottenham play does suit Werner, especially they can get in behind a lot, especially if a team is brave enough to play against Tottenham with a high back line. I just think I think it suits him very well? I don't know. It really depends what Werner you get. Like I say, Werner is definitely a confidence player. He reminds me of Arsenal. And the reason I say this is because Arsenal are a confidence team. Arsenal play well when their team's full of confidence. And I think Werner is exactly the same. He plays well when he's a confident player. Oh, I'm literally 50-50. It could go either way. But there's no real loss for Werner or no real loss for Tottenham, because Tottenham needs someone to come in while Sonny's away, and he's not a bad squad player anyway, so you could bench him. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't really matter. For me, it's just kind of a meh signing. It's like, all right, fair enough. All right.
I think that's I'm in agreement there. I saw the comparison between his time at Chelsea and his time at Leipzig, and his only difference with Chelsea and at Leipzig, everything he did, like successful passes, tackles and dribbles and everything was the same in both clubs, but it's just Chelsea, he just lacked like goals by
goals
so much, and everyone knows that.
How much did you buy him for?
I actually can't remember.
It was like 57 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we don't worry about
and
that.
And you sold him for like 27 million.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, on about more about Tottenham, they've signed a player called Dragušin. Dragušin?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I think it's Dragušin.
Radu Dragušin.
And he...
I think we've butchered that pronunciation.
Yeah, I tried to study the pronunciation, but yeah, he had the choice to go to Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And even Napoli were interested, and he chose Tottenham.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about this.
But context, he's a 21-year-old centre-back for Genoa. Is it Genoa?
Yeah, I couldn't tell Genoa? You shit all about him.
Like,
I've got good ball knowledge, but I actually don't have a clue about him. But the thing with Bayern is, don't get me wrong, I feel like it was just, he was lined up for Tottenham for a while. I'd heard a lot of talks about it. So I think with Bayern, it's more just kind of like Bayern have come in last minute and he's already kind of sorted everything with Tottenham. Plus, it's less risk going to Tottenham, really, because, or less risk and more time you're going to play. Like, against Bayern, he's got to compete with Mvengkanu, De Ligt, and Kim Min-jae. The likelihood of him starting at centre-half is low. But whereas at Tottenham, especially when they've got Van de Ven out injured, I know he's just come back, and I think Romero's out injured. Like, you're more likely, especially at 21, you're more likely to play more minutes at Spurs than you are at Bayern Munich.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the reason I kind of brought that up as well, because Fabrizio was chatting about it, he was obviously tweeting about it, and he said the reason he's gone to Tottenham is because he gave him their word, basically.
Hold on, so you're saying Fabrizio like he's your mate?
Yeah, he's my mate, yeah.
Romano.
Yeah, Fabrizio Romano. But so this is his agent. This is what his agent is quoted to say. We can't believe we turned down Bayern.
Yeah.
Radu has given his word to Spurs and chose to respect this. We are still mind blown. That's his agent said that.
So his agent has basically said he cannot believe that his player has not gone to Bayern.
Yes, exactly. And that's from Fabrizio.
Why don't they just go to Bayern then?
Because he gave his word. It's his word. Right?
Fuck his word, mate. You know what I mean? Fuck that, mate. Go to Bayern.
No, I know. I think it's
crazy. It's a better move. It's a better move for his career as in a footballer, but
yeah.
Also just go to Bayern and win trophies. What's the worst case scenario? You just play on the bench and then you can leave.
Do you reckon
you get more money at Bayern or at Tottenham?
Oh, I don't know, actually, because it depends how good his agent is. I clearly... Not that great. Because he wanted him to go to Bayern, his agent.
His agent can't persuade him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. That's a tough one. But on the final bit I want to chat about is Sancho has finally... Here we go from Fabrizio.
Here we go.
I'm just saying he's now gone to Dortmund officially. We spoke about it last week, but I want to make sure everyone knows that that little bitch has gone to Dortmund.
Why do you not like him?
I don't know. I just wanted to, you know, ride the train.
Ride what train?
The hatred train you have.
No, I mean, like I told you last week, I don't hate Sancho. I just don't. He's just not a fan of what he's done. I think I've actually been reassessing it a little bit and looking at the deal now, I actually think it's more of a win than a loss for Man United. Don't get me wrong. It's a fucking loss that we still have to pay for 2/3 of his wages whilst he's at Dortmund. If you look at it from a financial basis now, right, his transfer fee is at the lowest it's probably been since he like broke through at Dortmund and was a great player, right?
Yes.
It's probably at the lowest it's ever been. He's going on loan to Dortmund until the end of the season, right? There is no obligation to buy, so Dortmund don't have to buy him, right? If he carries on playing trash, right, number one, it looks like he's the problem.
Yeah.
So, and his transfer fee will just stay similar to what it is right now because that's already the case we're in. Number two, if he goes there and he plays really, really well, there's no obligation to buy. There's no fixed fee agreed or anything. So then his transfer fee just goes up.
That's a good point, actually.
Man United like probably hope for him to go there and play really well because if he plays really well, bangs in goals for Dortmund and Dortmund won him, well, you've basically just inflated. You by loaning him, you've inflated his transfer fee massively. So if he plays well, but I don't know if I see him playing that well, to be honest. I think with players like him, unfortunately, unless he can kick that ego out, he's going to struggle.
The only thing I'd say the reason why he might actually do well is because the caretaker manager while he was there is now the manager. So he's got a good relationship, I guess, with him maybe. And he's comfortable with him. So
I do get that, but he was only, like you say, he was only is it Erdin Terzic or something?
Yes.
He was only, basically, for context, Erdin Terzic was Sancho's manager for what, like a season or half a season?
It was during the season, so I don't know if it was a full season.
But maybe it was
not.
Just a caretaker manager, but I don't know. I wouldn't read too much into that because, you're saying he knows him, he can play with him. Like during that time, do we know if he played well? Do we know if he? Do you know what I mean?
It was his best season at Dortmund. Before he came to United.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, fair play then.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I mean, I'm not reading too much into it. I'm just glad the saga is over. It's fucking dull, boring. Sancho, piss off. Welcome back to segment two of the OG Boys podcast. I haven't opened up a segment in a while, so I wanted to open this up. And we are doing a question and answer.
Yes. Well, that was nice.
So, Mikey.
Oh, he's got an itch. He's got an itch. Get that itch, boy. Oh, yeah. Get that itch. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's good. It's very good. How good is it, Jazz?
So, Mikey, take it away. Are you going to be reading out their names or are you just reading out the questions? You've got to read out
their names.
It
depends how good the question is.
If your question's good, we'll read it out. But if it's a bit, we might not. No, I reckon read out the names.
Okay, so.
Question number one.
Yes, so Riley Southern 1 says, why do you hate VAR so much? And is that a thing we've really kind of said?
No, I mean, he's kind of obviously insinuated it from our sketches.
Yes.
Why do you hate VAR so much? As in what every sketch is like, we just take the piss out of VAR.
Yeah.
Probably because, Ryan, the VAR, the people behind VAR are very incompetent and they're not very good at their job. So they're very easy to take the piss out of. You know what I mean? If you're good at something, you're generally not very easy to take the piss out of, but they're not.
Do you reckon it should be taken out of football?
Ooh! Was that a question or did you decide
that? I just thought about that.
I don't, because I'd hate the thought of losing like a massive game due to a really big error.
Yeah.
But they need to become less robotic, they need to use common sense more, and then football will be a greater place. But saying that, watching games without VAR, like in the Carabao Cup and some of the FA Cup games, is so much better because you can actually celebrate when shit happens.
Yes. Do you think it has ruined football slightly as well?
Not ruined it. It's just like, as in because we generally, although we hate it, it generally does come to the right decision, like most of the time.
Okay.
More than it would before.
But, like, did ruin the excitement of football.
Yeah, obviously. I can't celebrate a goal because what are they going to find here? Is it he's offside by a toenail's toenail or some shit?
Exactly. There's let's say like I don't know what the average of goals per game, but there's two goals a game.
Yeah.
That's the excitement you get, and then every time that happens, you're like, oh god, I don't actually know if I should celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah. The pure emotion of celebrating is gone.
It's gone. And then even for the players when they're celebrating, they're like Richarlison, for example, whee, taking his top off, flying down the touchline, and then it gets called offside. It's like you can't celebrate.
So, by the sounds of it, you're very passionate about this. Do you want VAR out?
I would prefer it out.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes. No, AI get involved. They can just do the lines easy, quick and easy. Right. And then the referee, you trust the referee's decision. AI can do the offsides and all that very quickly. There you go, bish bash bosh. Who gives a fuck? There's already goal line technology.
Quite a few people give a fuck.
Yeah, but there's already goal line technology. Like these.
Okay, so Chelsea are somehow in the Champions League final again, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There's no VAR, and you get done where it's a clear foul, the referee's missed it. Yeah. And that costs you the game, you lose 1-0, and it's like a penalty. Well,
people make mistakes, yeah. Referees can't be perfect.
With VAR, that would have been no foul. No, Chelsea saying, wouldn't have lost.
I'm saying use AI instead.
AI?
Yeah, because so VAR have a robot takes too doing long. It. Yeah. It'll get to that point.
But you
I
can't because it's subjective. But we're subjective.
And then that foul is then subjective.
All right, move on. Exactly. Next question, please. But that was a good VAR little, in, good but just hole. Needs to be improved. Go on, next question.
God's sake. Who has more techers out of the two of you?
Who's asked that question?
Aussie1325.
Aussie1325, the answer is me.
No, it's not. No, it's me.
How?
Techers is like close to your feet.
My touch is better.
Ooh, no. Disagree.
No, Mikey's touch is better, but I've got a much better football brain.
Oh, here we go.
No, you know that's true.
In for a CDM.
No,
yes.
for any player, I've got a much better football brain.
Yeah, no, for a CDM. Ooh, Daniel 2011.
Daniel 2011.
Are y'all dating?
Are y'all dating? We're brothers. It'll be very... Stop nodding. It'll be very, very weird. So, yes. No. We're not obviously not dating. I don't know why this is still a question being asked. Like, are you brothers? No. Grow up. Get away from
anyway,
me.
Anyway. Okay. Sorry. Hey, underscore from underscore the underscore horses. Oh, that's too long for me. Who's your favourite commentator and why?
It is probably, what's his name? The one on Sky Sports, Peter Jury.
I was going to say
but
that, yeah.
I just sometimes he just does a poem and that where it's just not needed. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, you know, like when he just like, I don't know, it's a goal scored and it's like, I don't know, say someone jumped up for a header and he's like, oh, when he's jumped higher than the Eiffel Tower's top to raise over the defender's head. The defender was so far behind him, and now he is just going to head the ball. Oh, he has headed that ball. It's cushioned off his head like the pillows on my sofa. They are so comfy, and he's placed that right into the top corner. And do you know what I mean? Just fucking, they just talk poems.
I mean, you got me captivated there.
Did I though?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to.
Yeah, basically,
stop.
Peter Jury's good, but just a little bit less on the poetry, especially when it's just something that's not really important. It's like, I know I saw a tweet, and I can't remember who tweeted it. So it was just something about Reece James, and it was just like Reece James, the boy who grew up in Cobham, captain of Chelsea,
legend.
Is the master of blah 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 blah. And it's just him taking a fucking throw in, like grow up.
Okay, that's an exaggeration.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I thought when you said poetry, you'd be like, roses are red, violets are blue. Yeah. Chelsea haven't scored. That's nothing new.
Wow.
That whole time I was trying to think of something.
Yeah, get on to the next question.
Trying to think of something.
Sorry.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah, well.
Let's see if there's any good ones here.
Well, that's harsh.
What's your favourite club outside of England? From Robert underscore Freesa.
Favourite club outside of England, Al Nassr.
Shut the fuck up.
What?
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
That's not true.
Yeah, Al-Nassr.
If that's true, you can just get off. Please. Is that
no, my favourite outside of England is probably... Does Swansea count as outside of England?
Yes, that's Wales.
Swansea.
There you go, then.
There you go, Swansea. You go. I like the way they play. I went to Union Swansea and Bosch.
Yeah, there you go.
Go on, next question. Oh, sorry, no. What's yours?
Fuck. I actually didn't think it would come back to me.
Outside of England?
I've always liked Dortmund.
Nice.
I've always had a bit of Dortmund. No, I don't know. I just quite like them.
Just first
team.
Club that came to head.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Shag, marry, avoid.
Oh, who asked it first? I want to know the name.
Robert underscore Fraser again. I didn't realise
it
was
him. Oh, he's a double asker.
Shag, marry, avoid. Mm-hmm. Moyes, Emery, or Dyche?
I would shag Dyche.
Ooh, okay.
Avoid Emery.
Oh.
And what was the other one?
Moyes.
No, as in what was the other thing I've got to do? Shag, marry, avoid. Who am I avoiding?
You avoided Emery, you just said.
Avoid Emery. Shag. No, I could not be married to David Moyes. Fuck that, mate. I'd marry Dyche because he's just probably fun. He goes to festivals and that. He's a good lad. I'd shag Emery and avoid Moyes. I'm having none of that fucking Moyes style of football. Fuck off. You?
Marry Dyche.
Yeah, why?
Because he likes the party. He likes a pint.
Yeah, nice.
I'd probably shag Unai Emery.
Nice.
Because it'd be a good evening. and avoid Moisey, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Nice, same as me.
This is the one for you.
Okay.
Philip Lumholt, I don't know how you say that. De Gea or Onana?
Onana.
In the prime? In his prime?
I mean, if you're saying in the prime, yeah, De Gea was a better shot stopper, but the football's changed, football's transformed from what it used to be, and Onana is much more suited to the modern game, so yes.
Okay, okay. There's a question from Palmer 4.
Palmer?
Odegaard or Bruno?
See, now, do you know what? I actually knew he asked this because he said to me, oh, have you seen my question? I was like, oh, no, I haven't. But I knew it was this, and I'm obviously going to say Bruno, and it's not even me being biased. I just think Bruno takes more risks. He creates more chances. He is sort of he's a bigger game player in the big moments. He creates big things, makes big things happen. He's been playing in a poor Man United team for a fair few years now since he joined, and has always been standing out. Don't get me wrong, I think Odegaard is bloody brilliant. Like, Odegaard is kind of like silky, the way he sort of gets the ball and moves around the pitch, rarely loses the ball. Is very good, don't get me wrong. But I just think if you gave a top manager, like a top manager, a choice of do you want Bruno or Odegaard, I think the top managers would want Bruno, because Bruno's also got that, he's also got that spite to him. You know, he's a bit of a wanker, like he's a bit of a rat. And I think a lot of play, you need that to win, because you know when to, you know when to make a foul, you know when to sort of, like the other day when he's like, against Wigan, he's like basically dive for a penalty, but there's contact. And it's like, but things like that, it's just sort of shithousery. He's got that shithousery to him. Like, for example, Mourinho, I bet Mourinho would love Bruno Fernandes. So I think they're both fantastic, but I think Bruno takes it. He's created, for example, in 2023, he created the most chances in the entire Premier League at Man United side, which half of the season weren't very good. And Odegaard didn't create as many chances as him, playing in arguably the best Arsenal side in a long, long time. From a similar position. Don't get me wrong, Bruno loses the ball more, but I think because he makes more risks, and it's sort of the risk versus reward balance. And I also just, Bruno, maybe not last season, but overall Bruno scores more goals and provides more assists. Like I say, maybe not last year, because that was the year when Arsenal obviously performed well. But as an overall, I don't like to go off one season. A lot of people go off one season. I'd like to see Odegaard do it for a few more seasons at the top level. And then we might have to revisit this debate.
That's a good answer. I'm going to leave that answer with you. That was good. Good. Here's one from Josephus Aiden.
Nice.
Who's a better player, Timo or Nunes?
Nunes.
Okay.
Yeah, Nunes, 100%. Nunes is good.
Yeah.
Nunes is very good. He's just fucking got something in his head that just doesn't... He doesn't know how to, like, calm down. Which is very fucking contradictory coming from someone like me who's always just energy. But he's just like, in that, like, Nunes will do so much well, like, until he gets in front of goal and he's just suddenly like, shit, what do I do? He just sort of smashes it. And then, you know what I mean? He's just like pure panic stations. It's like, I just don't know. And it's just like, just fucking calm down. Like, I can't calm down. I got to shoot. I can't. Just shut up. Just
boy,
shoot.
Nunes, calm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, he just can't do it. And I don't know. But Nunes, other than that, is really good. He's fucking quick, strong. He
got nice
good
hair.
Link-up player. Yeah, nice Barnet on him as well, so I'll give him that. But yeah, I just think, and then Werner, for me, similar style of player, as in, like, can get him behind and stuff, but also a little bit, I wouldn't say as panicky in front of goal, but just maybe not very good in front of goal compared to what he used to be. I'd go Nunes. What about you?
Oh, I think it's close. They're similar, but they're all like, Nunes has got more of an attitude or an aggressiveness to him. Werner's more like, he'll just get his head down and play, but both of them have that similarity of, like, in front of goal, they're just a bit like...
Shit in front of goal?
Basically, and a lot of these top strikers are suddenly, the last few seasons have been, it's showing a bit more that they're just panicking in front of goal. I don't know what it is. If it's after COVID, the fans come back in, they're like, oh shit. And then it's just made their confidence even worse and worse, but...
I think it just comes down to, it's actually not easy to score. It's as simple as that. It's not easy to score, and that's why you pay the money for the big players that can score the goals. It's not easy, and there is a lot of pressure on all these players to score, especially when they have these high price tags. And all it takes is, I'm a big supporter of the idea of that football is generally just about confidence. And Gareth Bale is the perfect example. Gareth Bale was doing nothing with his career. Suddenly, I'm pretty sure over the summer he got his ears pinned back or something, and then he come back with a whole new confidence.
You're saying Gareth Bale's career was...
I'm pretty sure it's the story of Gareth Bale. I'm pretty sure, I might be chatting utter shit, but I'm pretty sure Gareth Bale, he was at Spurs. He was on the verge of moving to Birmingham for like a really cheap fee. And then I'm pretty sure during the summer he got his ears pinned back and it gave him like a new sense of confidence. And he come back in training, apparently it was outrageous, and it all sort of stemmed from there.
Do you think I should do that?
Your ears aren't that out forward, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's that's quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm not just a pretty face.
I want to know if that's legit, but that could be because you see some pictures of him in his younger
career. Right, that's not
it. No, I can do it. I've got big ears. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm going to the last question. People are asking this. It's like people are asking what's happened to the skits. And I'm just going to tell you now, they're still there. They'll be coming more and more. Just don't worry, okay? I just want to address that, okay?
Yeah, what's happened to the OG Boys skits videos? Nothing. Nothing's bloody. No, I'm joking. We've retired. We've literally retired. No, nothing. We've had a Christmas break. We've relaunched the podcast. I've currently been working on 2 or 3 brand deals that have to be there to pay the bills. But they are still there. There's nothing wrong with them. What's happened to them? Nothing. They're there. They're, I don't know. They're still there. Stop asking. They're coming back. Excuse me. My plan is to get 2 out a week. But I think maybe just because we used to just get like 4 a week, people are just like, what's happened to them when they don't see them as much. But we also now try and make them about 1 minute long. So to be transparent with the fans is because TikTok pay better if you do a minute video. So simple
as
that.
Quality, if we want the quality to still be there, it takes longer to do those videos. So you can't do as many as you once did.
A 20-second video before or 25 or 30-second takes double the time if it's a minute video. Simple as that, really.
Exactly.
But they're still there. They're coming better and better, hopefully. So yeah. Voila.
Why, man?
Okay, so Jordan Henderson.
Why,
are you enjoying your time in Saudi Arabia?
No, I fucking hate it, man. I've come over and the fucking weather's fucking hot, man. It's fucking boiling. You know what I mean? I didn't realize it'd be fucking boiling. And turn up to a fucking match, yeah?
Yeah.
And I got Stevie at the side going, fuck now, Jordan, press, push, dog. And I just don't know. And then I'm fucking trying my best to play with these fucking players, man. But they're all shit, man. I'm passing it to fucking this guy over there, this guy over there. I can't even remember his name, man. And just fucking shit, man. Like, I just cannot do it no more, man. And like, we look around, I score a goal or something, man. And I look in the fans of the stadium, think everyone's going to clap me. There's no one in the stadium, man.
That is very true. And talking about this,
why, man?
Is that a reason why you're looking to come back, making a return?
Why, man? I'm fucking fed up with Saudi, man. Problem is, man, the tax, man. If I come back before a year, man, are gonna charge me like 45%, man, on me earnings.
Oh no, not like that's only like 4 million of your 8 mil, whatever you've earned so far.
Don't fucking give me shit about my money, man.
Yeah. So as you can see, we're talking about Henderson and his return apparently back to maybe the Premier League or Europe, we should say. He's clearly not enjoying his time in Saudi Arabia, and we try to just ask him what he thought of it and get some, you know, information out of him. But you talked about the fans and the fact that the fan base out there is woeful, if it is not the top four teams, I should say, and Al-Ittifaq is not really in the top four.
Al-Ittifaq, mate, yeah.
So the reasons Henderson, from the research, the reason Henderson is not enjoying his time, hot and humid apparently, too hot and humid. He wasn't prepared for that weather. I mean, that's stupid because you should be prepared for that. But I can understand why that is impacting him because obviously much different from the English weather. I think family as well, probably not fitting in or settling in right. The fans. We'll get onto that in a moment, and then I think there was one more thing, but I think that those are the main reasons, and I think also the level of football there is atrocious compared to Europe, to be honest.
Yeah, so I think for added context, like I say, Jordan Henderson, it's like rumored that he wants to come back from Saudi to, I think it's like Ajax are interested. I saw like rumors of like even Chelsea, Newcastle.
Yeah.
I think basically Jordan Henderson's gone to Saudi Arabia in the summer. Obviously, just looking at the money and gone, yeah, sweet, I'm going to make loads of cash. I absolutely love it. But then he's gone out there, and I think it's not just him. I've heard rumours that Benzema and Firmino, both aren't happy out there either, and also looking for returns. But it's kind of like, what did you expect? I have zero sympathy for them. If they're going to complain about the climate, the living conditions, etc., do your research before you go. It's not difficult. Do you know what I mean? You could go out there before you leave your clubs that you were at, none of your clubs like forced you out. You all decided to leave. Like, you could have stayed or you could have found different clubs. You didn't have to go to Saudi, but you took the money route. So look at the climate before you go. Do your research on it. Do your research on the fan base. Is there going to be a high number of fans watching us? Don't just look at the money. And what it looks like is they look like the money. They've gone out there and realized, fuck me. Oh, this is... No, they've gone out there thinking, oh, we can change football, we'll make it a bit better out there. But it's such a low level. And the difficulty is you can't just change football like overnight. Like, even if they signed 100 players, like, the Premier League's been something that's been made for years and years and years. Like, Saudi League football, to get to a high, high level, there has to be so many foundations in place, and there just currently isn't. And it'll be years and years before it's anywhere near where it is. And footballers have just thought... They've got excited by the temptation of money, which is fair enough. But they've realised that money isn't everything in football.
Money is not everything. And if you're playing at a huge level like they were, then dropping, I mean, tiers and tiers and tiers, like, it shows the level of it, because, and the popularity probably in Saudi Arabia, due to the attendance numbers. And I want to get onto that because of how different and how low some of these numbers really are.
Can I jump in just before you do that? Because what I just wanted to say, Jordan Henderson, right? I was thinking about this, and although a lot of those reasons that we said is why he wants to leave, do you think one of the reasons is, I know he's been in the England squads recently, even when he's been out there, ooh, but do you think one of the reasons is because the Euros is coming up in the summer, and basically Al Etifaki are literally, I don't know if I've butchered that pronunciation of the name, by the way, but yeah, Al Etifaki are like on a really poor run of form, and if like he's in a team that's playing really badly, he's already playing out in a league which is much lower than the Premier League. Like, is he just thinking, shit, let me get back in the Premier League because Gareth Southgate loves me, he picks me, but if I'm playing in the Saudi League at a team that's doing crap, then the likelihood is I'm not going to be picked over other players. Or do you think he just thinks, fuck, Saudi Arabia is shit, I don't like the way you're living?
I reckon it's a bit of both. And I think, obviously, Euros might be his last chance to be in an international tournament. Yeah. And I think he had a call with Southgate before he moved. I think he asked him, would I still be in the side? Will I still get picked if I moved to Saudi Arabia? And obviously Southgate probably didn't even know what the level would be like himself. Yeah. And getting to this point, I think it's since October, Henderson's team, Al Etifaq, have only won one game.
That's poor, then, isn't it?
And I know that's Steven Gerrard's side as well. And there's also a thing, the assistant manager has resigned.
Well, no, he's actually gone to Plymouth Argyle.
He's moved. And he was a Liverpool Academy coach, I believe.
Ah, okay.
So, like, I think he had a relationship with... And he a relationship with Henderson, and he was part of the persuasion of him going to that team as well, apparently so. But, I think he's realised it's shit level, shit fans. Just, it's nothing that he... The only reason he went was money. And I think he's...
And he's probably quickly realised that money isn't everything. And there's, like I say, the lifestyle you can live over here might not be as... Like I say, he's going to get more money over there, and you probably got a fancy house over there. But it's not quite the same as being over here. He was loved by thousands and thousands over here, and it's just not quite the same over there. And he's probably missing it and just thinking, shit. Also, let's solidify my... Like you say, it could be my last tournament for England. Let's solidify my spot and bosh.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And then as well, going from Anfield, the atmosphere at Anfield, and then going...
To the Al Etifaq Arena. It's not called that.
So, this is why I say this, because Anfield, I think, has got one of the greatest atmospheres of the stadium. You go from that to... They played... I can't remember... I don't know how to pronounce this, because...
Go on, just try. Try and pronounce it.
Al Riyad. Something like that. They played... So, Al Etifaq played Al Riyad. I don't want to butcher it yet. Riyad. And there was only 696 people there.
So to put that into context for someone that doesn't really realise how sort of different that is to over here, when Jordan Henderson was playing at Anfield, I think Anfield, now their new addition to the stadium, I think it's in 55,000 plus. But even before that, I think it was like, it's always been above 40,000.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've had a few, they've extended the stadium a little bit here, there and everywhere. So I'm not sure on the exact number what it is now. But yeah, so in comparison to that, he's probably being watched by at least minimum 45,000 less people. Also, to add context to that, for the people that don't realise how low of a number that is for football, in over here in England, you can get National League teams, which is the fifth highest league, so Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two, National League, which has more fans than that. Yeah. And that's at a level that not many people, like I say, you're not going to, like, you name me a National League player, like, you know what I mean? You're not going to know. But over here, football's just that big that's the way it happens. So he's probably getting... You're probably getting National League players over here being watched by more players than Jordan Henderson getting watched by in Saudi.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 696 people compared to Anfield is nothing. And that atmosphere, for a player like Henderson who's played at a level like that, that would impact him and be like, it probably would motivate him, like be demotivating, sorry, demoralizing, whatever the word is.
I think it's just a massive change and it's massive different. It's just hard. Like you're going from 40,000 plus or whatever it is to 600 people. It's very different.
Absolutely.
And then, like I say, money can't buy you an atmosphere.
Exactly. And it can't buy you happiness. And he's probably not that happy there, I reckon.
Agreed.
And so with that attendance, I want to show you that the lowest attendance there was Al Riyadh versus Al Okdud. However you say that.
Al
Okdud.
Show me that word.
Al Okdud. Literally like that.
Okdud, yeah.
And that was 133
people. 133
people? Yeah. And that's in the Saudi Pro League.
I've had more fans play when I was young as a school match. More fans watch a school match.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's just the ridiculous. But then the highest attendance, this was Al Hilal. Mm-hmm. So Neymar's team. This was their first game of the season versus Al Fayha. I don't know how you say it again.
I don't want to ruin it,
but that was 59,600.
That's still a lot of people.
That's the first game of the season and the first game Neymar. I believe he signed on the 15th.
Right, okay.
So that's probably helped it out.
The funny thing is, I actually did research before to find out if like what's the biggest sport in Saudi Arabia, and it is football as well. So the low numbers on the games, it is interesting if that is the case. But maybe although football is the biggest sport over there, because the Saudi league is just low, maybe a lot of them aren't interested in the Saudi league because they know that there is better leagues out there. So maybe, like I say, it's the biggest sport out there. But for example, they're probably watching overseas football like Premier League, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, with these stadiums, they're not that small stadiums either. Like, here's a thing I want you to guess as well. The capacity for Al Hilal, they're top of the league 60, right
000?
Now. 60,000? So 68,000.
Wow.
And their average, this is their average.
45,000?
26,000.
So they're not even filling half their stadium.
Not even close.
On average.
Yeah, wow. Not even close to that. And then Al Nassr, the only ones who are basically filling their stadium. And that's because their stadium's 25,000.
And that's also because they have Ronaldo.
Exactly. And so Al Nassr, 25,000 capacity, their average is 20,000. So they're
not even filling it.
No, they're not filling it, but they're...
So they have Ronaldo, they have Mane, they have Brozovic, they have Talisca, they have Alex Telles, they have Laporte, they have Ospina. Some other names that I can't remember. That's
ball
quite
knowledge.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
told you, good ball knowledge. And they still can't fill out a 25,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I know that. So about 80% filled.
Because over here, Ronaldo turns up to any team in the Premier League if he plays. That stadium sold out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that just shows the difference in football fans over here compared to Saudi. Like, Ronaldo could play for literally Luton. And they'd go to any stadium and it would sell out just because Ronaldo's there. But Saudi,
so true.
Obviously, he's still it still brings more numbers, but they still can't even sell out their home games all the time. That's crazy.
I know. It's
God, they're like Man City. Must be like being a Man City fan.
Ooh. Sorry, Man City fan. Al Hilal's got the biggest stadium in the country, but I found this out today. Al Ittihad and Al Ahly share the same stadium. Wow. They play in the same stadium, and that is 62,000.
Okay.
And their average is even worse.
12,000.
Al Ittihad is 19,000.
Right, so like a third.
So more than a third.
Fucking hell.
No, under a third, sorry. And then Al Ahly is 17,000.
Funny
even
thing
less.
Is, like, we're saying this like 20,000 isn't a lot of people. Like, it is a lot of people, but I guess when you've got like a 60,000 seater stadium, how did I just do that? I just dropped my cup and it's just zinged across the floor. Anyway, no, what I'm saying is when you've got like a 60,000 seater stadium, and there's 20,000 people there. 20,000 people won't feel like a lot because it will just look like the stadium's not that full. Do you know what I mean? Whereas 20,000 in a smaller stadium would look like a lot if it was
like
filled.
Respectively, it's just...
So like I think basically it's just football. It's just different. Over there, it's not the same. And I don't know. I can't make an opinion on what the fans are like over there because I don't know in detail. But I just think over here, football has just been massive for years and years and years. And you just can't really replicate that somewhere else without... Sort of it has to be a generational change. Like They start now. They'll still be working. They have to still be working on this in 20 years for us to even talk about the numbers being at a very good level. And to put it into context as well, like for example, Manchester City. Don't get me wrong; they didn't just buy their success, but even now they just won the treble, and they still can't sell out their stadium every week.
Exactly.
So, like Saudi are obviously trying to buy football and bring players over. It's not just like you can't just buy names and expect stadiums to fill out. It's not quite like that. Football is very hard to do. A lot of people, especially over here in the UK, do it are down to loyalty. Like they go to games because they're a loyal fan.
I was about to say, you have to build loyalty, and that's why City, right now, I reckon in 10, 20 years, it'll be.
Well, if you see a lot of
loyal fans,
a lot of the kids of our generation, like a lot of the probably like six to sort of 12-year-olds of our generation are all City fans because all they've seen is City win, win, win. So they've just followed that. So in the next sort of 10, 15 years, you'll have a lot more adults which are City fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, my point is that if City can't even sell out their stadiums after winning the treble and having the team that they currently have, what makes Saudi expect think that they can do it? And like I say, these players have probably just got a reality check and thought, yeah, like I said, I know I've repeated myself a couple of times, but money just isn't everything in football. And that, like I say, you can take the money for a bit, but it's just not, it's probably not that fun. I don't mean that like in disrespect to Saudi. It's probably not that fun. Like playing against players, the majority of players that aren't as good as you. The funnest bit is probably just seeing your bank account.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think it's good for someone who's literally about to retire? Because they're just playing at a level
there. Yeah, if you're literally going for the paycheck, yeah. But
yeah. But obviously people like Henderson, who else, like Neves, people like that who are in their prime and like... Jordan Henderson, sorry, not in their prime. Neves, but like there's a few younger people I can't name on the top of my head, but they've gone and they're like late 20s and they could...
Yeah, I honestly don't see... I see the attraction, obviously, because of the money, but other than that, I really just don't see it like... Because you are stepping down a level, like it's no two ways about
a few
it.
Levels, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you are stepping down. So you are just selling out in a way. And it's just like, I just don't see if you could play in one of these top leagues, why go and play there? Unless I think you go over there if you have no options. You know what I mean? You go over there if it's the only option.
But some of those players definitely had options.
That's what I'm saying. And they just sold up for the money. And I think a lot of them will come to regret that. And they already are. Yep. And you already are seeing
6 months.
6 months, isn't it? It's not even been long. It's like but it's not easy for a league like that to be successful. Like I remember when China tried to do it with the Chinese Super League, they brought over some players and how that didn't work. It's not quite as easy as it looks. You can't just throw money at people and expect that. The main thing is to make success, you have to have foundations in place. And don't get me wrong, Saudi might be putting them all in place, but within 6 months, it's not going to happen.
No, I think that's good. And last question for you. Once Ronaldo retires, leaves Saudi Arabia, do you reckon that league's just going to go... back to just down?
It's very hard to say because like I say, I do fully think they probably are putting the right foundations in place to keep it going. But yes, in a way, it won't go down as in it won't disappear, I don't think, because I think they're in it for the long haul. But Ronaldo, I don't think people realise how big Ronaldo is until like I say, a move happens and he goes somewhere or something happens to do with him. Like, you know he's massive, but you don't realise the numbers and the... what's the word? How to sort of the, like, he is the A-list of A-listers. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he is the biggest name that there is. So pulling him away from anywhere, anything is massive. And unless they can replace Ronaldo with, but I think it's even like, there's no one you can really replace him with. Like even like an Mbappe would be massive, but it's still not Ronaldo. Like, although Mbappe is arguably the best player in the world right now, he's still not Ronaldo level of popularity.
Give it 10 years, then maybe.
Maybe, but even someone like Messi...
Yes. Ronaldo's, he's still here.
No, of course. But Messi couldn't replace Ronaldo because Ronaldo is a more commercial... Ronaldo is the biggest commercial name in football, so he's basically irreplaceable. Anyone can replace him. And yes, I do think Saudi League... I personally think it's going to struggle for a bit. And I think, yeah, so people go there, they're going there just like everyone knows, just for the paycheck and for a bit of an easy ride. Might be controversial to say that, but I think it's a bit of an easy ride.
Totally agree. Gone for the money.
And on that note, thank you for listening to the OG Boys podcast. Wee-hoo! We will see you when?
Next week.
Next week. So absolute au revoir. Share this with your friends. I don't know why I'm doing gun signs.
Yeah, just keep going. Yep.
Share this with your friends. Like, subscribe, video. Do all the good stuff. Sketches are coming out. Don't worry about it. We'll be back. Oh, no, not that we ever went. But yeah, love you guys. Thanks for support. And Mikey, 3, 2, 1.